God shall help us this morning. We want to look at the 8th chapter of the Romans, and from the 28th verse we read, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. There is one thing very marked about the Apostle Paul's ministry, and that it was a very positive ministry concerning the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is one part of the Word of God which has been much on my mind concerning Paul writing to his beloved son in the faith, Timothy. And he speaks in the 2nd of Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. I know and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." The Apostle Paul on many occasions uses that word, "and we know." We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. That is one of the very marked evidences that we have been born again by the Spirit of God, because we have that love to the people of God, that love which passes all knowledge and all understanding. It is the love of God in Christ Jesus. And the Apostle Paul opens this wonderful chapter of the Romans with, "There is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus." If we are not in Christ Jesus, we are under the law, we are condemned, we are on our way to a lost eternity, we are on our way to hell if we are not in the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, the Apostle Paul was so emphatic upon the proclamation of the gospel. He had had a wonderful conversion in the 9th chapter of the Acts. He speaks of his wonderful conversion, his call by grace. He was really and truly struck down on the Damascus Road. Remember that Paul, before his conversion, was a religious man. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. Of touching the law, he was absolutely blameless. He was a religious man without Jesus, without the Lord Jesus Christ. And when God brought him down on that Damascus road, when the Lord brought him to his knees, when the Lord quickened him by his Spirit, when the Lord put a new song in his heart, he was converted, friends. He was born again. He had passed from death unto life. Yes, as the years went on, Paul grew in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But his conversion was done on the Damascus Road. The Lord met with him. The Lord dealt with him. The Lord came unto Paul in his sin. And you read the first chapter of the Galatians, he said, "When it pleased God." When it pleased God. There is an appointed time, friends, for your conversion. There is an appointed time for my conversion. Hymn 76 sums it up. There is a period known to God when all his sheep, without exception, redeemed by blood. What happens? What is conversion? It is a complete turning around. They leave the hateful ways of sin. They turn to the fold and they enter in. That is conversion. That is what it means, friends. I know that God brought Peter back to repentance, and he said that Satan desired to have him to sift him as wheat. "And when thou art converted, Peter was converted years before by the Sea of Galilee when the Lord said, "Follow me." But in that instance, when thou art converted, when thou art strengthened, when thou art restored. My friends, we are speaking this morning of conversion. And that is why the Apostle Paul knew. Every minister of God, my friends, if he does not know in whom he has believed, there's not much hope for those that gather before them. The servants of God must know by precious experience that Jesus Christ died for them upon the tree. It's absolutely vital that the servants of God, the ministers of Christ, should know their standing, and that the gospel should be presented in such a way, friends, that the common people hear him gladly. The simplicity of the gospel. Was there anyone more simple than our glorious Master? Distresses me a lot when I especially hear of young people and they say, "Of course, we don't understand. We are mystified by the gospel." Well, my friends, why? Paul was a simple preacher, although he was an educated man. Paul was not an illiterate man. He was a learned man. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. But my friends, when he preached the gospel, he preached it in that simple way that Christ preached it by the Sea of Galilee. And that is why, friends, there were souls for his hire and seals to his ministry. That is why men and women followed the Lord Jesus Christ. In reality, the gospel is very, very simple. It is human nature that is hard to understand it. It is your human nature and my human nature that do find it hard to receive the glorious truths of the gospel, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Friends, the experience will come as you walk in the ways of God. You don't expect a young babe that is born into this world to be fully equipped, do you? That babe has to grow. And so in grace, so in spiritual things. There may be this morning a young babe, would to God that the church was full of young babes in Jesus Christ. They have been awakened. Oh, my friends, they may not be able to speak of the glorious experience of the Apostle Paul. That does not matter. The Apostle Paul had a wonderful experience for a reason. He was going to be a preacher of Jesus Christ, you see. He was going to preach to the Gentiles of the unsearchable riches of Christ. He was going to point men and women and young boys and girls to a lovely Jesus whom he knew. My friends, that is the only gospel that God will bless. When it pleased God. And it has pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It has pleased God not to send the angels to preach. Those glorious beings that do the will of God. No, it has not pleased God to send angels to preach. It has pleased God to call men from the ruins of this fall. And he has equipped them with his Holy Spirit to preach the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. And that is what Paul was called to do when God met with him on the Damascus Road. When it pleased God who called me by his grace and revealed his Son in me, said Paul to the church at Galatia, "I did not confer with flesh and blood, but I went on the errand of the Master. Remember what happened on the Damascus Road. There was the Apostle Paul, under the name of Saul of Tarsus, doing the work of the devil. That is how we are found, brethren. That is how God finds us in the world. We are born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and we do the work of Satan. Well, this is in a mere profession, or whether we are out in the profane world, there is no difference. We are born in sin, shaped in iniquity, and until we are born again by the Spirit of God, we are under the condemnation of the law. The wages of sin is death, eternal death. But the gift of God, oh precious gift. Those of you this morning who know the Lord, it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? It's a wonderful thing this morning if we know the Lord. We may know, my friends, about churches and denominations that will not stand when we come to our dying bed. My friends, to know Jesus as our personal Redeemer is so vital for heaven. We are not saved by an experience, brethren, but every one of God's children will have an experience. We are not to preach our own particular experience, but the servants of God will have an experience that will be founded upon Christ. My friends, this morning, the foundation was laid at Calvary when the Son of God expired upon the cross. See the Lord of life and glory. Hear him sighing. Hear him dying. Look, ye sinners, ye that hunger. Look how deep my sins and your sins have stung him. Look, though stung to death. There is hope, brethren. There is the remedy for the malady of sin this morning. The Apostle Paul, my friends, when he was brought on that Damascus road, he was heading for a lost eternity. He was persecuting men and women. He was hailing them to the prisons. And suddenly, sometimes, friends, our conversion is suddenly. Sometimes it is over many months. Sometimes it is over many years. It doesn't matter. God is a sovereign. We hope to sing about the sovereignty of God at the end of our service this morning. Sovereign ruler of the skies. My friends, Paul was suddenly brought down upon his knees on the Damascus Road. One moment he was persecuting the church as Saul of Tarsus. The next moment, there was a light shined brighter than the sun itself. And friend, he was persecuting the church of God. And God said, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Friends, before this happened, he did not realize he was persecuting the church of God. We may be persecuting the church of God this morning and not even be aware of it. You know, I often think of David. He wasn't brought to repentance immediately after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba. It took Nathan the prophet, brethren, to go unto David. And he said there were two men. One was a rich man. One was a poor man. And you know the story very well if you know your Bibles. David was almost indignant. He said, the man that had done this shall surely die. There is conviction of sin. David, thou art the man. My friends, David went on. And remember, I know we've digressed this morning, but David was not a novice in the things of God when he committed adultery. David was a mature Christian. David had been called by the hills of Bethlehem. He was the Lord's child, and he had slept, he had fallen. My friend, he was brought to repentance. And so this man Saul, who wrote to these favored churches, we must go back to his conversion. It's good to go back to our conversion. It's good to speak of what the Lord has done for our never-dying souls. Would to God. But that was the conversation of each and every one of us this morning. Never be ashamed to speak of what Christ has done for you. My friends, before Jesus was born, David said, "Come, all ye that fear the Lord, and I will tell you what he hath done for my soul." I'll tell you this, the profane will don't want to know about it. The professors in religion don't want to know about it. But those who are of the same kindred spirit, they will listen to what the Lord has done for a sinner. My friends, this glorifies God the Father. This exalts his beloved Son. This puts the crown upon the right hand. It pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb. My friends, can you look back this morning in your life, whether it be a long life or a short life, and see the hand that sought you? Maybe as a man, a young man, bent on a life of pleasure, bent on a life of sin, bent on a life away from the Lord. But oh, the love of God to his children. My friends, it is the love of God that will not let us go. Maybe this morning, we're like Jonah, we have tried to flee from God. Maybe we have gone the other way. And now we feel the prickings of our conscience. Maybe again this morning God is saying to someone here, as he said to the apostle, "Why persecutest thou me?" Now my friends, look at the response of this man. Immediately, "Who art thou, Lord?" And we know that no man can truly say that Jesus is the Lord unless he takes the veil away and breathes that living word, "Who art thou, Lord?" And here you see the condescension of the Son of God to hell-deserving men and women in the world, in every age of the church. What happened to Paul is happening to men and women today. Jesus Christ could have sent the Apostle Paul to a lost eternity. He could have said, "I am Almighty God. I condemn you to a lost eternity for persecuting the church." Friends, listen to what he said. "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest." It's hard for you, sinner, to kick against the pricks. Ah, you'll say amen to it. You may have kicked against the pricks. You may have rebelled against the ways of God. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks for a sinner. Oh, but what a different spirit had the Apostle Paul after that word from heaven. No longer did he go on in a rebellious way. No longer did he persecute the church of God. No longer did he kick against the pricks. "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" There is a submission. There is humility. The Apostle Paul did not want to take the highest place in the church. He had the highest place in the Jewish faith. He was well respected in the Jewish faith. He prayed eloquently in the synagogues. But my friends, now he is really praying. He's praying under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You see, now he is a convicted man, and he is in need of a beloved Savior. And friends, the Word of God says, "Behold, he prayeth." He prayed many times, doubtless, in the synagogue. But now he is really praying. He is praying for forgiveness. He is praying for repentance. He is praying for the Lord to appear for him. Is there one or two here this morning that are praying for the Lord to appear for them? It may be that you are not newly converted. It may be that the Lord had dealt with you in love many years ago. But now you are praying for the Lord to appear for you. Well, friends, the text declares, and we know. Oh, this is a wonderful text. This is a comforting text in the midst of our lives. In the midst of all the things that concern us this morning, family, church, everything. And we know that all things work together for good. All things together, who for? Those who are the called according to His holy purpose. Those who were predestinated to eternal life. Those that were chosen before the foundation of the world. They were chosen in Him. There is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ Jesus this morning, there is no condemnation. You have been acquitted by the work of the Lord at Calvary, the work of Jesus Christ, the finished work upon the cross. It is finished. Nothing to be added to it. Nothing to be taken away from it. Poor sinners have to come to the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is where Paul was brought, to the finished work of the Lord. Remember what he said later on. I count all things as dung and dross, that I might win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness. He'd had enough of that, which was of the law, but the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. All things but dung and dross. He gave everything up. He gave his religion up. It was a natural religion. It would have perished with him. It had to be given up. And that is where every converted man and woman is brought. Their natural religion has to go. And they have to have a Jesus-only religion. Jesus-only. And there, friends, the Apostle Paul is brought. And what did the Lord say unto him when he had brought him down? Did the Lord leave him in that utter condemned condition, blinded? Did he leave him there, my friends, upon the ground, expecting the very next breath to be his last? No, the Lord never leaves a sinner there. The Lord had great mercy to Paul. Rise upon thy feet, Paul. There has to be a rising in faith. There has to be a coming forth to the Lord. Rise upon thy feet, sinner. For I have appeared unto thee for this very purpose. My friends, we have got in our text this morning the purposes of God. The purposes of God to the church. And Mr. Cowper says his purposes will ripen fast. What is the purpose of the Lord to you and I, friends, if we are his dear children this morning? That he might do us good. That he might take us to heaven. That he might bring us to that place where Jesus is. The purposes of God, His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. You see, friends, Christians today, we are exhorted not only to pray, but to watch the hand of our God in every aspect of our life. Providential and grace, you cannot separate them. You cannot separate God's gift to you this morning in your daily life and your spiritual life. They go hand in hand. The purposes of God will ripen fast. God's purposes are being unfolded in the world today. Prophecy is being fulfilled before our very eyes. There shall be a great falling away towards the end of the time, at the end of the world. The love of many is gone. The love of many is waxed cold. But what is the position of the believer this morning? What is the position of the church of God? My friends, the position of the church of God is this. She is secure. She is on course. She is looking unto Jesus. And each individual member of this church, which knows no name, has been redeemed by Christ, was chosen before the world began in Christ. We have read together this morning, if any man, how solemn is that? If any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Lord, at times I feel not to have that Spirit of Christ. But if any man hath the Spirit of Christ, if any man hath the Spirit of Jesus, they are a new creature. My friends, this morning it is so. We know. And everything that happened to this man, from the moment he was converted to the moment he died, was working together for his good. The trials, the afflictions, the persecutions, the suffering. I will show him, said Jesus, what great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Did any man suffer apart from the Lord himself like the Apostle Paul? He was persecuted. He was whipped. He was in perils with Paul's brethren. My friend, he had that suffering pathway. And when he writes to the church at Philippi, he said, brethren, we are not only called to reign with him, but we are called to suffer with him. Of course there's a suffering. There is a fellowship with the sufferings of the Lord. We may have been praying recently that I may know more of him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. And the Lord has led us into a pathway of suffering. The Lord has led us into a pathway of affliction. The Lord has led us into a pathway we had never envisaged. And we feel that we've come to wit's end corner. Ah, but we are walking with the psalmist. They that go down to the sea in ships, they do business in great waters. These see the wonders of the deep and the works of the Lord. And we are growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is bitter to the flesh. But there's no condemnation, friends, to believers who are in Christ Jesus. They are in Christ Jesus. Their standing is not in themselves, it's in him. And isn't it a wonderful thing this morning that as Paul preached the word of God, so the word of God is being preached this morning throughout the length and breadth of this universe. Of course it will be preached. This gospel shall be preached to the end of the world. Then shall the end come. God, my friend, has a purpose for the world this morning. The church of God is being gathered in from the four corners of this world. What a mercy if you and I are being used in any small way to bring about the purposes of God. You see, friends, Paul, before his conversion, was a religious man. He probably attended the synagogues every day. He would walk around in long flowing robes. And he was a very, very educated man. But my friends, after that conversion, after he was born again by the Spirit of God, how he was enabled to submit himself to the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted to do the will of God from that moment on. Now, what about you and I this morning? As we look upon the world, we look upon the church, we see the Lord's hand in many of our affairs, we see the Lord speaking in circumstances within the nation. The Lord doesn't always speak by a word. He speaks by circumstances. He speaks by circumstances to churches, to families, to individuals. And then, my friend, he speaks of this blessed text before us this morning, the ground of the Christian hope. This is it. You see, friends, this morning, although the people of God have their trials like every other one, the Apostle Paul was never shaken off his calling. Nothing could shake him off that Damascus Road experience. Nothing could deter him. I know in whom I have believed. There is a ground of assurance. He preached the gospel with divine authority and power from God. God had called him to this work. Read the third chapter of Ephesians. And he says to me, who am the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I might preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, what was the effect of the Apostle Paul's preaching? Something happened. Something wonderful happened. The saints of God were built up in their most holy faith. There were many of the saints of God who had been believers for many years when Paul was converted. And even Ananias at the first, he wasn't too sure about him. He said, I have heard of this man that he had done much damage to the church of God. And the Lord said to Ananias, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. Didn't matter, my friends, what Ananias thought about the matter. It's what the Lord thinks about you. He is my chosen vessel. He is my servant. He is my child. I am going to use him in the church of God. And God has used the most unlikeliest men to preach the word of God. You've got the very evidence with men not many years ago. Who'd have ever thought that John Newton would have been a preacher? What about George Whitfield? Before his conversion, my friends, he was a publican. God raised him up and he brought him to preach the word of God. John Newton, as many of you know, was a captain on a slave ship for many years. He went to the ends of the earth in sin. And God brought him back, friends, and brought him to preach the word of God. And they were burdened over the souls of men and women that they preached to. And my friends, this morning, may it be our desire as ministers of God that men and women shall be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it is as applicable this morning as it was in the days of the apostle when he went down to the Philippian jailhouse and there was the prison officer under conviction of sin. The apostle Paul, my friends, didn't say, out of mere formality, believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He saw the Philippian jailer, my friends, in agonies. Men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? And that's why Paul and Silas sang praises at midnight in the prison house. Their life was sanctified by God. They had many trials to pass through. Friends, they had one end, to preach the Lord Jesus Christ, to see sinners being added to the church, to see men and women being born again by the Spirit of God. Now, this is an anniversary day, isn't it? It is your church anniversary today. My friends, I have prayed this, that it may be an anniversary day in many sinners' hearts, that before the end of this day we shall know that the Spirit of the Lord has been amongst us. Oh, my friend, it's not the man that stands before you. You know, Paul was emphatic on this. Paul may plant and Apollos may water, but it is God who gives the increase. If God is going to revive this church or my church, it'll be God that does it. Yes, he will use men and women. He will use believers. And my friend, you will know about it at the prayer meeting. There will be a sense of burden upon our heart. I don't mean morbidity. Friends, there was no morbidity with the Apostle Paul. He wasn't a morbid man. He knew in whom he had believed, you see. My friends, naturally speaking, it's no use doing something if you don't believe in it. And what about spiritually? He said, I did not receive this from man. He wasn't taught it by man. We aren't taught these things by reading other men's experiences, as good as they are. My friends, it's God who teaches us in our daily lives. We are taught every day. I don't know how you are, but every day there is something brought into my life. Something comes. When one burden goes, as another arrives. And friends, I can understand what dear John Bunyan said. When one burden is removed, there is another one knocking on our door. Why? So that we will be kept close to the Lord Jesus. You see, friends, if we had no trials and afflictions and burdens, we would be far off from him. You see, where does it take us? It takes us into the mercy seat. Lord, undertake for me. Lord, undertake for me. And that keeps us, you see, close to the Saviour. That keeps us from any pride. The Lord knows what to give us, doesn't he? You know, it's a paradox as a Christian experience. We need keeping down and we need keeping up. And this blessed God knows the right prescription. He just knows what to give you and I, doesn't he, to keep us close to him. thy whole dependence on me fix, nor entertain a thought, Lord, we do, thy worthless schemes with mine to mix. Sinner, venture to be not. There is safe ground where the Gadarene was brought, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in our right mind. You know, friends, when you're brought there, you'll follow him. You this morning who maybe have not followed him all the way, friends, that blessed Spirit of God, how it constrains a sinner. It doesn't matter, my friends, what your life may have been, when God by the Holy Spirit comes down into our heart and shows unto us what we are, and shows unto us what we deserve. I looked for hell. He brought me heaven. And then as we go on in the Christian life, how he reveals himself in different aspects of our life. What a precious text we have this morning, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Those are the characters whom this text applies to. My friends, all things work together for good to the church of God and to no one else. Those are the characters, friends, who are involved. Those who love God. Those who are the called according to his purpose. You see, friends, it is his purpose that brings a sinner to himself. Oh, the wonders of this sovereign redeeming grace. When it comes down into the heart of a man or woman who has broken every law in the book, who has led maybe a wicked life, and he is brought to see the suitability. You see, friends, God has laid hand upon one that is mighty. This Jesus, friends, died upon the cross for a number which no man can number. That is the church of God. John had a vision on the Isle of Patmos. He beheld a number which no man can number. After he saw the tribes sealed, he beheld this great number. And in this number, my friends, there are millions of sinners who are being chosen. You will not love the doctrine of election until you know the Lord. It's an awful doctrine to the natural mind. Election is a truth. Small comfort there I find. I have no comfort in it until I am told by God's own mouth that he has chosen me. Then you will love the glorious doctrine of election. It did not make Paul a narrow-minded preacher. He didn't know who the elect were. God having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. My friends, the preacher, the pastor, they do not know for certain. But my God knows. And when he preached the parable of the sower, he knew that there was only one class of hearers that would receive the word of God and bring forth fruit to repentance. You see, Paul, friends, he preached the whole counsel of God. And you know, to really and truly preach the whole counsel of God, we have to be the Lord's free man. We haven't to court the smiles of men, nor have we to fear the frowns of men. We have to preach the whole counsel of God and the absolute necessity of the new birth. My friends, it stands this morning, as it stood in the days of our Master, when the Lord said to that man that came to Jesus by night, Nicodemus, ye must be born again. And you know Nicodemus, he was a man, he was no ignoramus, he was a man who had been schooled in the Jewish faith. He said, how can a man enter the second time into his mother's womb? Nicodemus, that which is flesh is flesh, that which is the Spirit is Spirit, the Spirit blows. We know not this morning where the Holy Spirit is working in the heart. It may be, friends, it may be. But there are many even sat this morning, not necessarily just in this little gathering. And the Holy Spirit is working with them. Oh, my friends, you know, Paul had this great desire. And it was a God-given desire. It was not a fleshly desire. He said, brethren, my heart's desire to God is this, that they might be saved. Oh, didn't he love the souls of his hearers? Didn't he love the souls of men and women? Of course he did, because he knew the value of his own soul, that's why. And one of the best evidences that you have been born again by the Spirit of God is that you have a love for never dying souls of men and women. Of course it is. The next best evidence that you have been with Jesus and learned of him is that you have a zeal for the Lord. A zeal for the Lord. And friends, Christ wept over the city of Jerusalem. He came and he said, "Oh Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you? But ye would not. Ye would not. Henceforth your house is left desolate." Oh, my friends. He spoke to Capernaum, you know, and the Lord couldn't do many mighty works, could he, in his own place. Why? Because of their unbelief. But friends, Paul knew that his standing was secure. He knew me, I believe. You can trace his life from the Damascus Road to the end of his life. And there, as he speaks to his son in the faith, it's a wonderful portion, is that? Of a dear aged servant of God who had proved his God speaking to the son in the faith. He was a father in Israel to Timothy, was Paul. "I am now ready to be offered, Timothy." Now listen to this. This is assurance. "And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the fight. I have finished the course." My friends, there's stability there. There is assurance there. Henceforth. Of course he had a hitherto. "Having obtained help of God, I continue to this day." Henceforth. All God's children have a hitherto. And if they have a hitherto, they must have a henceforth. "There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And not only for me, Timothy, but for all those that love his appearing." Friends, that's the prospect of the church of God. I think really and truly this morning, if we live more in the light of eternity and heaven itself, oh, friends, Paul lived in the light of eternity. His ministry was not negative, it was positive. My friends, he preached to the people, he preached to the heart. "I received it not of man." Of course he didn't. Of course he didn't. He received it by the revelation of God. Oh, that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? "When it pleased my God, who separated me from my mother's womb and revealed his son in me." You know, there is a religion about today where they decry that personal experience. But my friends, there must be strangers to it. Because every believer, every child of God, he has a revelation of Jesus. That's why Satan attacks us. That's why the devil attacks us. He doesn't attack a person who has a mere profession. You know, friends, I always find weekend is one of the times when Satan is very close to me. I'd be amazed what happens in our homes as we prepare for the Lord's Day. He knows that we are taking this blessed gospel to sinners. And friends, He hates God and he hates the church. And we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. Oh, friends, how he tries to stop the servants of God preaching the word. The devil said to me this morning, "You'll never arrive down in the Midlands. It was thick fog when we left, but friends, it was lifted within 20 minutes. My God had done it. And I passed your pastor going north as I was coming south." And friends, it must have been very, very bad in the early part of the morning. But the fog did lift. And you see, we've a beautiful day granted. And God's servants today have been able to travel, to preach the word of God. Of course, there's a divine purpose. We'll never know the full meaning of it in this life. It will take an eternity, my friends, for the purposes of God to be revealed to us. But you know, as the Lord Jesus Christ will say to his Father on that great morning, Father, here am I and the children which thou hast given me. So God's dear servants in measure will say, Father, here am I and the children which thou hast given me. You see, friends, it's a wonderful thing when we receive the Word of God. As we receive the Word of God, we will walk in the ways of God. You can't help walking in the ways of God if you have received Him. Friends, it's wonderful to receive the Lord. And remember this, everyone that goes to heaven, they have received Christ in the heart by faith. He came unto his own and they received him not. He came unto the church before she was born again and they received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Isn't that wonderful? We're not slaves, friends. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We are heirs with God and joint heirs with Jesus. Oh, my friends, I know Paul speaks about being a slave to the Lord Jesus, but oh, in a right way. He did his bidding. But, friends, in reality, the Church of God are princes and princesses in Christ Jesus. You know, Jacob is a prince. The Lord took Jacob from the dunghill. What did he say unto him when he wrestled with him all night? Jacob, I know your name. You are a deceiver, you are a supplanter. But thy name shall be no more Jacob, but Israel. I'm going to give you a new name. For as a prince, thou hast had power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And we know that all things work together for good. Do you believe this morning that all things are working together in your life? You know, you may be saying something like this morning. My life seems one complete mystery. My life seems one complete turmoil. I cannot believe that all these things are really happening and working for my good. Neither can I. But the Word of God tells me that I have to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And remember this. Paul had a new life when he was brought down on the Damascus Road. Can you say this morning, and I will close with it, and the life that I now live, I live by faith on the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. All things in my life and your life this morning, they're working together for our good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his holy purpose, may God add his blessing. Amen. And your collection will now be taken.
Sovereign ruler of the skies, ever gracious, ever wise, all my times are in thy hand, all events at thy command.
Now may the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion of thy blessed Spirit abide with us. Amen.